grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. With whom do you identify the most?
You perhaps think I'm a political pollster, but I'm not. I'm your pastor.
And I'm asking you about the prodigal son in our text, the parable. Play along. Someone once wisely said, never criticize a person till you've walked a mile in their shoes. For you'll be a mile away and then you'll have his shoes. So with whom do you identify the most when it comes to Jesus' parable? There's the Father, gracious, merciful Father. There's the younger son, the squanderer, the one who finds a merciful father, comes back repentant. Then there's the older son who decried inequality that his dad would receive back a sinner. Let's go through these backwards, starting with the older son, old faithful, you might call him. Is this the one that you identify with the most? Three things you might note about him. Number one, I think he's an accountant. Because he's accounting things like an accountant would. He relies a lot on the track record of things, doesn't he? The track record, very, very important to him. It's pretty reasonable, too, I think. Businesses, organizations, and government should operate this way. We judge them based on their track record. Always good to hire someone, pick someone, elect someone, praise someone who has the best track record. The contractor that you pick to build your house. If he has a bad track record and never finishes on time and a lot of his houses need a lot of repairs in the first few years, are you going to pick him? Is that whom you'd pick to build your house? Financial experts say if you're going to pick a mutual fund, what should you look at? The track record. How is it done over time? Don't pick a new one. It has no track record. Pick one with a long history in the markets. The question is this. Is this how families should operate? Only show favoritism to those who have a proven track record, have proven themselves faithful, like the older son, like old faithful. The older son said in his defense, look, these many years I have served you and I have never disobeyed your command, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. You can detect jealousy in his feelings of unequal treatment and is accusing his father of favoritism, which is not based on track record. He goes on to say, and this is the second thing that we learn about the older son. He continues, but when this son of yours came back who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. Did you note what he called his brother? This son of yours. In other words, read between the lines, this man is not my brother. This man, if he were my brother, would stay and do the work with me and not betrayed his family and his father and not slept with sinful prostitutes, for goodness sake. That's against our family values. Have you ever disavowed a sibling? That's what the older son does. He disavowed his family, his own flesh and blood. If God likened himself, if he identified himself with the older son in our text, then he might disavow us as his family, as his children. If Jesus disavowed us as brothers and sisters, where would we be today? The third thing we learn about from this older son, he refused to go in and celebrate his brother's return. He refused to honor his father's decision to show mercy and forgiveness and joy for a wayward son's return. Some might call that stubborn. Is that you? If I can't have things on my terms, which are right, I won't join you all if you choose a different route. In other words, I'm so sure that I'm right, Dad, and you're wrong, Dad, and I have nothing to learn, nothing to grow from in understanding and wisdom and compassion and character. I'm not going to cave and be foolishly graceless like you all. For what then? What would happen then? We might get taken advantage of next year. What happens after the celebration's over? What then? Will he stay and do all the work? Will he continue to be faithful like I have been faithful? Look at his track record. I don't want to risk being hurt again. Have you ever said that? Thought that? If so, maybe this parable was written for you. Maybe you've got some growing to do. Maybe you need a change of heart. Maybe you need to learn to be more compassionate, father-like in your way regarding your family. That is, be more merciful, forgiving, joyful at true repentance, trusting and honoring your Father's mercy for others. Maybe you need to call that son of yours by his real title in relation to you, my brother, my sister. Maybe you need to risk getting hurt again. God does. God does risk being hurt again, doesn't he? He's been risking that since Genesis chapter 3, I think. The younger son in our text, some others of us might be able to identify well with him. Some of us have taken advantage of our father's riches, taken an early withdrawal, and then squandered it. In the words of the text, with reckless living. Well then, somebody must love us because we're still amazingly alive. Out of jail, should have been dead, should have caught a disease. Don't deserve a forgiving family. Yet the younger son thinks about who his father is. He remembers the father's track record of love. So he plans to make confession before his dad, saying, "Father, I have sinned against heaven," important, "and you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants." He's not looking for the limelight. He's not looking for any kind treatment, anything out of the ordinary. But something draws him back to the man who's known to him as Father, maybe even the father of unconditional love. May we all be drawn back to such persons and to our God. Well, there's only one person left to identify with. Have you been the father in this text? The one who's probably lost sleep, wondering the whereabouts of his son. Who has lost sleep thinking the kind of living my child has chosen for him or herself is dishonorable, deplorable, divinely stupid. What will God think on judgment day? I cringe to think that they could be lost eternally. How did I fail them? Was I too strict? Was I not strict enough? One can imagine what our Heavenly Father must think about us, his wayward children, what it's like to walk a mile in God's shoes. He who neither slumbers nor sleeps, the Bible says, that's probably because he's wondering whether his children know that they should come home, should come back to family. They don't know what kind of celebration they've got coming for them, what kind of grace, what kind of mercy a father would kill the fattened calf for one like you. Who will tell them to return to find mercy? To know the Father is willing to rejoice, running out to meet the lost child before the words of repentance can even be spoken. He's already running out to see his son, who says to his older son, old faithful son, "You are always with me, and all that I have is yours." Yet it was fitting to celebrate and be glad for this brother of yours. He says it rightly, doesn't he? He's no disavowing titles from the Father in this text. This brother of yours, you should remember, he's your brother. It's not in God's nature to disavow anyone. This brother of yours was dead and now is alive. He was lost and is found. You see, God does not operate like a business or a government. He does not reward with eternity based on track record. He rejoices to show mercy to his family. And you are, by faith. Repent, and all is yours, even the fattened calf. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your thoughts and minds, your hearts, in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.